this thing this morning, and I preached about the woman who couldn't leave men alone. And boy, I tell you, if you could have been up here where I'm at and seen, there's people in here this morning I've never seen before in my life, and they might be back tonight and they might not, but boy, I got some looks, and that's going to go against my chances of winning the best loved man in McDowell County this year, I guess. But I don't regret it. I'm glad I did it, because that's what the Lord laid on my heart. And I still believe it's the truth. And I told you that tonight I was going to preach on the man who couldn't leave women alone. The man who couldn't leave women alone. Couldn't leave the women alone. And I had a bunch of people guess it as they went out this morning. And two or three of them got it right, matter of fact. And the ones that didn't guess it right, it could have been this man. I could preach on the man they mentioned just as easily, and they could have been right. It just happened not to be the one. But we're going to be dealing with that tonight. You pray for us. You be praying for us. The Lord give us strength. I'm awful tired. I went to bed at 2 o'clock this morning or something to it. And back up early, and need mental strength to be able to say what the Lord wants to say. And you remember to do that next Sunday too, because I'll be coming in from Florence, South Carolina after the service Saturday night. It'll be probably 4 o'clock Sunday morning before we get home. And so you just pray the Lord just watch over us, and be ready for church next Sunday morning. And we just pray the Lord's will be done, and looking forward to it. And we'll be praying for you as you invite others and bring them in to the services next Sunday. Now, the man we're going to talk about this tonight is in the book of Judges. Book of Judges. And I know that means some of you missed it. How many of you got it right? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah, big crowd of people there got it right. The book of Judges. Some said Solomon, and that could easily be, I could preach the same message and about it and use him. He had 700 wives and shacked up with 300 more. That's right. Boy, I tell you, they said he was wise, but he didn't have too much sense. I believe he was wise, but he sure blew it when he done that. Because his wise is what turned his heart after other gods. We see a man here, Word of God, that couldn't leave the women alone. He just couldn't do it. And we're going to see what happened to him tonight. And I wish a lot more men here than there are, but we're going to bring a message to you that are here tonight. Be a lesson to you. You ladies, don't sit back and enjoy yourself. You better thank God and go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. But anyway, let's be looking in the book of Judges tonight. This man is Samson. Strongest man to ever live. You know what the Bible said about a wicked woman? Many strong men have been slain by her. There's some men that can ball up their fists and knock a hole through that door that got their life ruined by a woman. One of the most dangerous tricks the devil's got for you men tonight is some old woman to ruin your life. And brother, don't you think for a second he ain't got one out there laying a plot for you and for me. They're out there tonight, full of the devil, and just controlled by demons, and you might as well face it. The man who couldn't leave the women alone. He had a heavyweight title, Samson did, but he lost it. He could have knocked Joe Lewis and Cassius Clay's block off, brother. Can you imagine one of these little Sugar Ray Robinson or somebody like that get in the ring with Samson? Man, he just went back and bop, knocked that guy's. He'd have broke his neck. But them women got him. And don't forget that. He blew it. He could pick up a gate of the city and walk off with it. But he couldn't handle those women. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to entertain. I'm warning you men tonight. Many strong men. I don't care how
strong you are. I don't care how dedicated you are. I don't care how close to God. You can say it, don't bother me. I get along just fine. Many strong men have been cut down and ruined by a woman. I want us to, before we even read any scripture tonight, go to the Lord in prayer and then read about this man. Our Heavenly Father tonight, God, we come before Thee asking You, God, to fill us with the power of God tonight. We pray, Lord, that You'd forgive us of all of our sin. Every idle word, every thought, every intention, every action, every desire, unclean, lust, filthy, nasty, pride, jealousy, envy, backbiting, hatefully, maliciousness, anything boasting, sinfulness, or lack of obedience, God, or things that we ain't done. We pray that You'll forgive us and wash us in the blood of Jesus right now. Our Father, tonight we pray, God, that Your will be done here in this service tonight. Our Father, tonight we pray, God, Lord, that Your will may be done, God. Help us, O Father, tonight, God. Lord, that we may be fortified against this old filthy, nasty flesh. God, help us tonight, Lord, to flee You for lust. Help us, O God, tonight, Lord, God, that we might be filled with the Word of God and help these brethren here tonight as they fight the battle in these last days. Amen. Our Father, tonight we pray, God, that Your will be done. God, I pray, Lord, the Holy Ghost will come upon us tonight and help us to be sober and clean in mind, soul, and body, and spirit. God, bless this service tonight. Have Your way, supply our needs, and God, will praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Jesus' sake. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Have Your way. Amen and amen. I want to preach tonight on the man who couldn't leave the women alone. I know that we're living in a time when I've had a lot of boys come to me and they just confess it. They said, Brother Danny, I've stood it just as long as I can stand it. They said, these women are driving me up the wall. They say, I work with this old hussy, and I do this and that, and she's always flirting herself around me, and it just seemed like that it's all I can do to keep from having the wrong kind of thoughts and the wrong kind of action. I believe tonight, boys, I believe this. I believe that we're living in the most wicked, lustful time that's ever been since the days of Noah. I believe, brother, there's more the lust of the flesh that are taking hold of men's minds tonight than there's been since the days when Noah, when God looked down and saw that men's hearts were only evil continually. You say, Brother Danny, that's a big statement. I believe that. I believe that since the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, brother, there's as much wickedness tonight and probably more than there was in that day. I don't believe Sodom and Gomorrah had the drive-in theaters and the fancy, glossy, slick magazines and, brother, the big signs right out in broad daylight on the sides of the highways. They might have something like that, but they didn't have MTV and HBO and that's Hell's Box Office, and brother didn't have the Devil Dish and all of those other things. They didn't have those things like we have tonight. Brother, I believe that it's available. Did you know a man right now can sit in the privacy of his own living room and watch the most filthy, nasty, X-rated filth that he used to have to go way off to Ashford or Charlotte or somewhere to see? Brother, it's available right now in your living room. And brother, this is going to be the ruination of our nation tonight if something ain't done about it. But I want to say hastily tonight, by way of introduction, lest you think there's no hope, I want to say this. I believe tonight that the grace of God is able to keep a man if that man wants to be kept. I believe it's possible tonight to live a pure life. I didn't say it was easy. I said it was possible. I didn't say a lot of them would do it. I said it's possible. I believe it's possible for a man to have the victory. I believe it's possible tonight to not go around with your mind full of filth and lust. I believe that, brother, if it wasn't, that would mean sin would be more powerful than the grace of God, that the Bible said where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And so tonight I believe it's possible. I want you to look in your Bibles there in Judges 13, and you keep your Bibles open there or you'll miss it. You'll miss part of the message. Judges 13. Let's notice the background of this man Samson who couldn't leave the women alone. Verse number 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines. And 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren, and barren not didn't have any kids. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren, and bearest not. Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. A lot of women in the Bible that happened to. Verse number 4. Now, therefore beware, I pray thee, drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Now stop right there. That's the prophecy of the birth of Samson. Samson's man, husband, or daddy and mama was a godly man and woman. An angel appeared unto them and said, you're going to have a son, sister. And Zora, I believe her name was, and he said, you're going to have a son, and this son's going to be a Nazarite. Now there's a difference between a Nazarene and a Nazarite. Somebody that just was from Nazareth was a Nazarene. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But a Nazarite took the Nazarite vows. And a man took the Nazarite vows, he could never cut his hair, and he could never touch any fruit of the vine, or he could never do this, a lot of certain things. A lot of people have that confused. They say Jesus was a Nazarite. No, he was a Nazarene. He came from Nazareth. But Samson here was a Nazarite, which means that he was set apart, especially a certain group of people that God did there in the Old Testament. Now, I'll tell you what the Lord done. The Lord said this man's going to be great, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. He's going to be a great man. He's going to be a great man. Now, first thing you know, that little boy was born. And boy, when he began to get little, when he began to grow, they never could cut his hair. That don't mean that you're supposed to follow his example. That was a special case that God had as an exception. You're not supposed to try to look like Samson nowadays, boys. It's a shame for you to have long hair. But God made a special exception there for Samson. And you don't look like Samson now if you've got long hair. You look like a lot of things, I could say. But anyway, brother, old Samson, he come up there. He's a little bitty boy, and I don't know how he looked. But I picture him. He may have just looked normal. But I picture him when he's about that high, just have a real fat little body and wear a little bitty big diaper around, and he look like one of them little weightlifters. And his hair be about down to right here, just all muscle. He might not look like that. That's just what I picture him in my mind. And when he's a real little boy, you know, he could plow and do all kind of stuff and lift weights and bench press about 300 pounds. Time he's about in the fourth grade. As he grew older, his strength just became super. He was strong. And boy, he was strong. Do you know that? Well, the Bible even said there one time that this man, he got aggravated at some fellas, and he killed a lion with his bare hand. A young lion came out to him. He didn't have gloves on, brother. He didn't have a knife or a sword. And a big old lion came out there, and the lion tore his jaws apart and killed him with his bare hands. I can't imagine a man being that strong. And then he went and throwed the carcass down. And a few days later, he came back, and some bees had made some honey in that carcass. And he told his sweetie, I'm going to talk about her in a minute. He told her, he said this and that, and these smart alecks come up, and they said, we want to know about Samson and everything. And he said, I'll put forth a riddle. And he said, if you'll understand my riddle, he said, I'll buy you 30 pieces of clothes, 30 changes of sheets. And brother, they said, if you can't understand my riddle, you've got to buy me 30 changes of clothes and 30 brand new sets of sheets. And they said, all right. And they put pressure on his sweetie there. His first sweetie I'm going to talk about in a minute. And brother, they put pressure on her, and she went and told them. And they come back there, and he said, out of the eater came forth the sweet, and out of that, you know, something or other, out came that which is good, and that was his riddle. They come back and said, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? Now, old Samson knew he's messing with the wrong kind of women, because he said, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have known my riddle. Amen? That's what he said. That's in the Bible. He knows she wasn't much. He called her a heifer. And brother, he said, that's in the Bible, brother. I didn't write that. And he said, that's in chapter 14 and verse number 18. He said, if you'd have not tied with my heifer, you would have not known my riddle. But anyway, brother, he was so strong that when he went to Gilead, you know what he done? He went down to a nearby town and killed 30 men and took their shirts and their sheets and brought it back and gave them to those 30 men. That's right. Brother, he was a strong man. Anytime he took a notion, he could just go out and kill 30 men. Ain't that something? Brother, that's a strong man. I don't know anybody in here that barehanded could go out and just kill 30 men anytime you wanted to. Why, brother, you just say this ain't no such a person as that nowadays. But he could do it. He was a strong man. But he had one problem. He couldn't leave the women alone. Old Samson, by the time he was about 8 years old, he asked his mama, he said, "Mama, why is them girls so pretty?" And she said, "Son, that's just the way God made them." And he said, "Boy, they're pretty. I just look at them, and I like them. I like them." She said, "Now, son, that's normal, but you better watch that now. You're a little bit young to be thinking about that." And lo and behold, Samson got his life messed up and finally killed him because he couldn't leave women alone. Now, I want to divide this message into three parts tonight, and I hope you get the message. And we'll try to just go through this just quickly and to the point. I'll tell you what he done. Samson struck out, brother. He messed around and got in trouble with three women. Three women, brother. It ruined his life. Three women. He sure did. He married the first one here. We'll notice in Judges chapter 14. Take your Bible and look at Judges chapter 14 and look with me, if you will, at verse number 1. Judges chapter 14, by way of introduction, and look at verse 1. He growed up now, and look what he done. "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman." Now, what he done there, stop reading the verse there, we'll finish it in a minute. He said, "It saw a woman." That's where his trouble began. He went down there one day and he said, and the Bible said he saw a woman. Now, a lot of young men don't understand it, but there ain't a woman nowhere pretty enough to ruin your whole life over. They just ain't never made one that pretty. They, some of them think so that pretty. And they, some men think so, but they ain't. There's none worth ruining it for. And boy, you know what? The Bible said he saw a woman. But I want you to notice something about this woman. It said in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. That means she was an unbeliever. She belonged to the devil's crowd. She wasn't saved. She wasn't a Christian. And Samson got his eye on this first woman here in Judges 14 and got himself into trouble. He looked at a woman and he said, "Boy, she's a doll. She's a knockout. I mean, man, she looked down there and she was a Philistine," meaning her skin was probably a little bit darker than his. And boy, she was down there and she was from the descendants of Canaan there, Ham's young'un, that come out of Africa. And brother, that meant, and she was beautiful. She looked just like that old lesbian that they kicked out of being Miss America for making those lesbian photos. Oh, what's her name? I don't know what her name is. Or Jane Kennedy. Or somebody like that. That's what she looked like. And they say that's the most beautiful women in the world. That's about half black and half white and just about brown, you know. That's why all girls want to get a tan. The darker the face look, the more sexy you look. And they think, well, the darker I look, the prettier I look, and the more boys will want to look at me. And so they say, well, my face is going to be darker, darker, darker. And what they're trying to do is, if it wouldn't bother y'all, I'd really use some hard language, but I'm just going to try to help you read between the lines tonight and get the message tonight, because you're smart and you ought to be able to figure it out. But anyway, he come in one day and he's about, I guess he's maybe 17 years old, big old, strong, robust, overgrown elephant, and could lift up a car, brother, with one hand. And he come walking in and he said, "Mama!" And she said, "Hi, Sammy, what are you doing?" He said, "Mama, I went down to the river and I saw the prettiest girl I ever seen in my life. She's a doll. I can't think of nothing else but her. Get her for me, Mama. Get her for me. Please get her for me." Can't you just see that? Look at what it said in verse 2. He came up and told his father and mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. And look what they said. His father and mother tried to talk him out of it. Verse 3. "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all thy people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." Daddy, please. Daddy, get her for me. And his mother said, Samson, don't you think her skin's a little bit dark for you to be seen with? And he said, but Mommy, it don't matter no more. All the white girls at school like Michael Jackson. It don't matter. Well, you're just old-timey, Mama. He said, Mama, it don't matter no more. And she said, Mama said, well, that ain't the way I was raised. I don't think God intended it to be that way. And Samson said, but Mama, they all say it's all right. And they say you're prejudiced. And Mama said, Samson, we're not prejudiced. You shut your mouth, boy. We're no better than anybody else. They're no better than us. But God determined beforehand the bounds of their habitation. And he put one nation in one continent and one nation in the other continent and the other nation in the other continent. And he said, you stay with your people. I know that ain't going to go over too good. I'm telling you tonight, brother, God wants you girls and boys to date and marry somebody of your own culture, your own background, and of your own race. And I ain't one bit prejudiced. If you think I am, you're crazy. I don't think there's anybody, any race in this world, any better than any other race in the sight of God. But if you want to be happy, you'll be happier with somebody like you. And your young'uns will be a whole lot better off. When a black man and a white woman gets married, or vice versa, they can have one kid be black, another kid be white, and another in polka dot. That's right. Now, that's hard on them little young'uns having to grow up like that. It's hard on the kids. They shouldn't have to grow up like that. They're the ones have to suffer because of it. Oh, I got off on that. But anyway, oh yeah, what Samson's mother was saying. And she was saying, now, Samson, you ought not to do that. He said, oh, Mama, get her for me, get her for me. And nothing else to do him but to marry her. And I don't know exactly, you can't pinpoint it exactly, but there was a big difference between that girl and Samson's people. She said, Samson, why don't you get one? Does she go to church? Oh, I didn't even ask her, Mom. He said, Samson, is she saved? Oh, Mama, we'll worry about that later. It's love at first sight. And boy, he saw a woman there. And he said, she just swept him off of his feet. Knocked him for a loop. I've seen many young men come into church and do pretty good for a while. And then first thing you know, they're out one Sunday. And out the next Saturday. Or out the next Sunday or Wednesday night. Say, where's old so-and-so? They got him a girlfriend. And she don't want to come to church. And she goes, church over here, so-and-so won't come to this church. Won't come to that. Hey, if I was you boys and girls here tonight, I wouldn't even date a boy or girl that wouldn't come to this church. Amen. If they're too good to come to your church, then you don't need to be messing with them. I'm telling you tonight, you better watch them. You better watch them. And I'm not trying to be mean or hateful or ugly. I know what I'm saying. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm trying to save you a life of heartbreak and sin and destruction if you'll listen to me. And so he got this person here. This is strike one, brother. He got her, and the Bible says this is woman number one. She was an unbeliever, and she was a Philistine. He had no business marrying her whatsoever. Now, I'll tell you what a lot of men these days. A lot of men these days, all they can think about is women, 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 women. But when I worked on a job, way back, before I ever started, I was almost full-time, half-time evangelist, you might say, before I ever started this church. And but when I worked a full-time job down at Highlander, every Monday morning when they come in, all those men would talk about was their escapades over the weekend. They'd talk about how many women they went and seen, who's out with who, and who's shacking up with who. That's all they could think about. Now, if you know anything about this world tonight, if you men know what I'm talking about, it's filth in the morning, filth in the evening, and filth in the afternoon. You can't go into a public restroom without seeing all kinds of filthy, nasty. I mean, brother, hardly anywhere. And even in some churches, you go in, it's just filth, 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 filth. And if you girls knew what men was thinking, you'd be scared to run around out in public like some of y'all do. It's dangerous for you to do that. Listen, girls, if you knew what men was thinking, it'd scare you. You say, oh, they think I'm pretty. Uh-uh. A lot more than that. They ain't not cutting your arms off. Really? There's an ice full. In short, there's magazine after magazine and pornographic film about men and in rock concerts where they'll rape a girl and then cut her arms and legs off of her body. That's what men think it. They're sick. They're perverts. And they're head. Boy, I tell you that stuff. You folks may not believe it's that bad. It's 10 times worse than what I'm saying. In a mixed audience tonight, I couldn't even touch the tip of the iceberg. What's going on in the mind of filthy men? Turn your Bible to 2 Peter 2 just a moment tonight, and let me show you a verse of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Not verse 2, but chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And I want you to look at this just because you maybe think I'm not telling it right. 2 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse number 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Watch it now. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. It said their eyes was full of adultery. I want to tell you girls sitting here tonight that go to school and you grown women. All of yous. You say, well, no man wouldn't want to look at me. Yeah, they would. That don't mean you're a doll. That means they're so low down and filthy, they'd look at anything that's female. If I was a girl here tonight, and that's the only way I could get a boyfriend, by letting him take indecent liberties with me, sister, I'd hang it up as you. You'll be the shortest. Listen, girl. You listen? Hey, some men that can't even look at a woman with a clean mind. Even 8 and 9 year old girls. You say, Brother Danny, I don't believe. I know what I'm talking about. If you can see some things I've seen and hear some things I've heard, and I just know a little bit about what's going on. I've been saved 12 years. I just picked up a little bit about what's going on out there in the world. It's probably 1,000 times worse than I even realize. Men on the job, Cross Mill, Baxter, East Man, Burlington, when they see a woman, they don't even think of her as a human being with feelings. They think of her as an object. Now, I may be shocking some of y'all tonight, but I'm just giving it to you like the Lord's giving it to me. They look at you as a toy, just like they look at a football or a basketball. And it says, hey, let's pick up the ball and play a little while, and play a little while, and play a little. And you know what you do when you get through the ball? You throw it down. That's what men look at you and you think, oh boy, they like me. No, they're just using you like boys playing with a football, and when they're through with you, they throw you down. Eyes are full of adultery. Grown men stand around uptown in broad daylight and it's cloudy and wearing sunglasses and stand uptown all day long. The sun ain't even out. 50 and 60 year old perverts. I tell you men something here tonight. You better, I'm going to tell you how to get rid of it in a minute, but you better watch that thing of adultery in your eyes. Samson's problem started when he saw a woman. When he saw a woman. Now, I'll tell you men how you're supposed to look at girls. I don't mean, you know, that kind of look. I mean how you can't help but see them. Here's what you're supposed to do. Here's what you're supposed to do. Men, every female you see, the Bible said the younger, the older, treat them as respect with mothers, and the younger women as sisters with all purity. Now, if you'll listen to that verse, it'll help you men with this problem. You look at every young woman just like she is your sister. That's what the Bible said. Just like she was your sister. It'll help you boys if you'll listen to that. Look at her just like she's your sister. You wouldn't have no wicked, evil thoughts about your sister. Why, you'd knock some man's head off if you thought he was having evil thoughts about your sister. You'd say, I want to fight you. That's my sister. How could you trust? You're supposed to look at every young woman just like she is your sister. You understand? Now, brother, I just heard a case just recently. Just within a few miles from right here.
where the preacher in a church, a Baptist church, was threatened to be run off, and people was leaving the church because they were taking indecent liberties with a teenage girl in the church. And brother, this thing is invading the circles of God's people and in Baptist churches like crazy, like an epidemic. And brother, some men somewhere, you men need to get this problem settled in your mind and get a clear. I've had men say, Brother Danny, I can't even go to church. Every time I see a woman in the choir, every time I see one walk by, it's just filthy thoughts. And how, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to tell you tonight how you can get over that thing, and how you may not ever have eternal victory, but you can have temporary victory every day of your life if you'll do what I'm going to tell you tonight. This thing ain't no joke, brother. It's something you ain't supposed to be flirting around with. It's something powerful. Did you know the sex drive in a human being is about the third most powerful drive in your system?
Second, reproducing yourself.
Something that powerful is nothing to be tampered with. And brother, America signed her death warrant when she took the marriage bed and flashed it on television screens in this country. That'll be the damnation of this nation. You mark my words. If we don't have revival, them putting that marriage bed and broadcasting that thing and putting it in magazines and in newspapers and just things nowadays, brother, that'll be the ruination of our country. Right? You say, Brother Danny, what are we going to do? We're right in the middle of it. We don't like it. We hate it, but it's getting us. It's getting us down. What are we going to do? We got to do what Jesus said, be in the world, but not of the world. I know we're living in worse times in the world, they'd say. Well, we talk about a lot of times. Some of you may misunderstand this. We talk about a lot of times them great Christians in days gone by. And I'm not taking anything away from them. Thank God, bless their memory. Some of them great Christians, days gone by, ain't facing half what some of us are facing now. Son, in John Wesley's day, and I ain't knocking John Wesley, or he's probably the best man ever lived since Paul the Apostle. John Wesley didn't have to see what you and I see. Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, they didn't have to see, put up with what me and you've got to put up with. It takes more grace and dedication to live right now than it did back in 1800, son, and 1700. You know, even when they were burning Christians at the stake, brother, I mean, it was hurting them physically, but they didn't have the mind battle we're having. You think we ain't in a battle? A lot of Christians just relax and say, well, they're not cutting our heads off. Glory to God, our bills are paid. Huh? And the devil's getting us other ways. He's getting us with lust and mind, a battle of the mind. I believe the battle on the mind is the hardest battle Christians are fighting nowadays. We got it made physically, but brother, we're fighting a battle on our mind. Constantly, constantly. And like I preached the other night, the devil will bring up old filthy things that you've seen and done years and years ago and put it back in your mind in broad 3D, brother, living color, and try to ruin your Christian life over it. And Samson got in trouble because he saw a woman and married that woman. You know what he said to his mom and daddy? She pleaseth me. I believe I remember hearing the Beatles sing that. Please, please me, whoa, yeah. Like I please you. And our generation's in trouble tonight because all they think about is please. Me. No, I want to take this girl and be a good husband to her and buy her a nice house and give her a nice home and help her raise a family and be good to her. It's please me, please me, please me, please me, please me. It's what I want.
Now, I want to tell you tonight how to stay out of trouble, and then we'll move on to the second woman in Samson's life. How to stay out of trouble. For this, we're going to have to do a little Bible study in the book of Proverbs. Turn your Bible to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is probably the strongest book on staying out of this kind of trouble. If you'll bathe in Proverbs 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, you'll stay out of this kind of trouble and take heed to it. Proverbs 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Five chapters there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter number 9. Now, we notice first of all, let's look at chapter 8. I want to tell you boys something. You girls, shut your ears a minute. Bow your head and pray for me or read your Bible or something. Chapter number 8. Chapter number 8. The characteristics of an evil woman. The characteristics of an evil woman. Number one, the characteristics of an evil woman are this. I'm going to be jumping back and forth between 7 and 8 there. Look at, you see the first thing about the characteristics of an evil woman is her dress. She dresses in a certain way that's characteristic of an evil woman. Look at chapter number 7 and verse 10. Chapter number 7 and verse 10. You girls, you might ought to read this. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire. You know what that is? Your clothes. Of an harlot and of subtle heart. Stop right there. The way he knew this woman was a harlot was the way she was dressed. He said she met him with an attire of a harlot. Now back in those days, you could tell a prostitute in a minute just by the clothes she had on. Now nowadays, you can't. Most girls now dress like a professional prostitute. Amen. You say, how do you know? I've seen them on the streets of Washington, D.C. I've seen what they had on. And most church member girls dress like a professional prostitute. Amen. You say, I ain't no prostitute. I didn't say you was. I said, you dress like one. You can't tell now. Brother, you can't tell. I know one thing, if something ain't for sale, it shouldn't be advertised. You girls said, I thought he preached us this morning. Well, I'm telling about an evil woman. I have to talk like that. Okay? With an attire of a harlot. She's dressed like one. Now, you say, Brother Danny, how's a harlot dressed? Well, you see me out close, and I'll tell you exactly how a whore dresses. Okay? I'm preaching to men right now. I'll tell you though, if you want to know, I'm preaching to men right now. You listening? Listen, with an attire of an harlot. Here's what she done. The Bible said there, look at chapter 5 and verse number 3. The way he knew her. Chapter 5 and verse number 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Her lips are real slick and smooth. I just read you what the Bible says. Nobody can accuse me of not preaching this book tonight. I'm preaching it. What it said? He said, boy, you ought to see them, boys. I didn't say it was a sin for you to wear lipstick. I didn't say it. I mean, you know, if you won't wear it. I didn't say that. The Bible said that the harlot, her lips are smoother than oil. You said, well, I don't want to go around with old chap lips and fever blisters. There was never no boy like me if my lips was all cracked and bleeding all the time. I don't believe you have to be like that. Man, I can't stand up myself. But he said that characteristic was her mouth, her lips, was smoother than oil. Somebody said, Brother Danny, is it wrong for a woman to wear any makeup at all? I like what that one preacher said. He said, oh, every old barn needs a good paint job once in a while. You know, I don't think that's funny. I did. But anyway, bless your heart, girls. I love every one of you. You know, I'm trying to tell these men what an evil woman looks like. Now, you don't believe it? You look at the famous movie. I go in the grocery store, and I say, the 10 top beauties. And it's us. Ain't there a magazine named Us? U.S. or Us? I think it's Us. I guess that's their Us is their God. And here you got
Sue Ellen, you know. Now here you got J.R. and whoever them other fellas are on there, and them other old wicked looking ones. And over here you got poor little old Brooke Shield, bless her heart, on a picture of a magazine. Their picture's about that big. You look at them. Look at them real close. You know what they look like? They look like cats. The more wicked a woman looks, the more she looks like a cat. You look at a cat's eyes, man. I don't like cats. They give me the heebie-jeebies, brother. I like our own dog around the house is all right, but man, you can keep them cats. Anything got demons in them or something. Man, I had a cat come one time, jump up on the couch, and turn around and look at me. Had them black rings all around its eyes. Big old butt. Oh, my soul. Boy, I tell you, that you could tell she had the attire of an harlot. Now let's notice something about her approach. Look at chapter 7 and verse number 12. Chapter 7 and verse number 12. You're going to see a wicked woman seduce a poor young man. Ain't got no sense. Some of you young men right here, if the opportunity come your way, you'd be stupid enough to be seduced by a wicked woman. Verse 12. Now she is without. Now in the streets. What's she doing out in the streets? What's a woman doing out walking the streets? I kind of worry about a woman I see out walking the streets all the time. Now, if you have to, or if you're going to the store, or you come back home from school, or you're just out for a stroll, that's different. But you ever seen someone just go up there and just walk the streets? Man, they ain't bought nothing. They've been up there walking the streets for hours and hours and hours and hours. That's what she does. Look what he said. You didn't know there's that much in that Bible, did you? And lieth in wait at every corner. Verse 13. Look at here now. Here's the way you know a wicked woman, boys. So she caught him and kissed him. My soul. She caught him and she kissed him. You know there ain't something wrong with a woman like that. What happened to the days when the rider on the white horse came in and said, "Where are you, my darling?" And she said, "I'll think about it." And this and that. And then brother, little by little, turned in the left. And she kind of took it easy. Nowadays, they ran up to the boys and put their arm around them. She caught him. He's going down the street like this. She said, "Come here, sweetie." And just grabbed him and laid one on him. That's why you know a wicked woman, boys, if she's brash. Girls, let me just put a word in here for you. Don't be pushy on boys. Don't throw yourself at them. You don't have to cheapen yourself like that. Play hard to get. You'll get the best boyfriend if you'll play it cool and play hard to get. See, if you're after every boy and you're over here talking this and over here talking this and over here talking this and you're over here talking this, they'll say, "Man, oh, mess, you crazy." That's the way boys think about a girl like that. If you come into church and bring your Bible, walk like this and sit down and read that and everything, and when you get up, you talk to some people and talk to me, shake my hand, talk to some of these other sisters, walk up, they'll say, "There's me a challenge." And you're the one they'll like. But a girl that's always throwing herself at the boys, she can't never get no boyfriend. They figure, "She's hard up. I ain't messing with her." They say, "I ain't have her any time I want to. I'm just getting one that's a little harder to get. I'll never get through this mess if I don't get through this." But her approach is that way. Now, let's notice something else about her approach. Verse number 15. "Therefore came I to meet thee." What's she doing out running around hunting him? He's supposed to come over and pick her up. "And diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee." And you can read the rest of it later. All right? Look at chapter number 6, and I'll show you something about her. Chapter number 6 and verse 25. Chapter number 6 and verse 25. There's something funny about her eyelids. "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." Brother, that Bible was wrote, that scripture that I read you tonight, that thing was wrote at least 3,000 years ago, I'd say. 3,000 years ago! And it said, watch them, boys! They'll get you with them eyelids. Now, personally, I think some of them looks crazy. I seen one day, and this woman had this junk. It was about the color of this stuff right here. And it went, it looked awful. I mean, even if I was wanting to live a wicked life, I wouldn't think that looked right. I thought the purpose of makeup was just put it on there just enough to where it made you pretty, but people couldn't tell you had it on. See? But evidently it's changed. They used to smooth it in, you know. I've seen my sisters rub and get it blended in where you couldn't tell. Nowadays, they just like they put their finger in some mud and go, vroom, and the finger in go, vroom. They're like paint, man. I'm going to kill somebody. Like a witch doctor. You men, that's her approach. That's her approach. Watch your eyelids. For further detail, just go down here, flip them on, and go down here and look through, and take a look at Bo Dack, Linda Evans, and Brooke Shields, and whoever. The modern day newest ones are. They fade out about every 3 or 4 years, and new ones comes along. Look at them eyelids, boy. Hey, something. I got to admit, they do give you a weird feeling. When you see one, you kind of go, ugh. And if you're a Christian, you kind of shy away. But if you're a sinner, you go, it's like an ox going to the slaughter. Man, the fool! I tell you, brother, if you could see how some of them hussies really look in real life, you really, honest to goodness, think them movie stars, that's their real teeth. Do you really, honestly think that? Nobody grows teeth like that. You can't. Man, do you honestly, really think their hair is really that color? What if you could see old, I don't know, give me another one here, somebody here. Farrah Fawcett. You could really see, what if you seen Farrah Fawcett on some Monday morning when she first gets up and she's had the flu and her breath stinks and she ain't got it and she's going and her hair's all messed up and she got a big old fever blister here on her lip and she goes in there and gets on the commode. How many of you think that Farrah Fawcett would puke if she got the flu? Raise your hand. All right. Listen, that's real life. That's real life, brother, really. That's the way them people really are. They get sick just like me and you do. Their breath stinks in the morning when they get up. They stink under their arms. They do. They stink. They stink. Don't let her take her with you. I live. They want to catch up to me, boys. Living for Jesus is a whole lot better than living for some old husband. I don't want them to cheat me out of everything Jesus has done for me to waste my life on some old heart. That ain't never going to do me no good. Woo! Glory to God! You can be set free from them wicked women. Well, let me say right quickly about her approach. Let's look at how she talks. Look at how she talks. I got to get on these other two women here in just a second. I'm going to have to cut a lot of it out, I guess. Proverbs chapter 9. Look at here how she talks to him. Here's how a wicked woman talks. She calls passengers. I've had them do me that way before. We met them walking up and down the streets in Washington, D.C., and every time we'd pass one, they'd say, you want a date? Want a date? Want a date? I'd say, no thank you. You want a track? You want a track? You want a track? And they'd say, no thank you. Well, James, the truck driver, you hear what he says? They'd bang on his doors. You know what a lot of boys think if a girl asks them for a date? They think they're some kind of movie star, some kind of monster. They don't. If they bang on his door, son, you know. to do that, brother, but I'm trying to help these young boys out. Hey, I had them at Myrtle Beach, heart me and say, hey, come on up. They couldn't even see me. Me and these boys walked down the sidewalk at Myrtle Beach, and there's about three girls up on the roof here, and there's four of us walking down the street. And one old dumb girl leaned over the beach and hollered, get rid of one, come on up. You say, what'd you do? I kept right on walking. And they made me look. He said, boy, I don't want you crazy. You get BD. You're sick, buddy. You're crazy. I ain't that bad of shape. Boys that just run after any little old girl will holler at them, they're crazy. They ain't got good sense. You're going a diet strike through your liver. Look here what she says. Verse 17. Stolen water is my sweet. She says it's better with me. Your wife don't know it. It's better with me. She says if you steal something, it's better than if it's yours. And bread eaten in secret, when nobody don't know it, it's pleasant. Verse 18. But he knoweth not that the dead are thine, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Look at chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 18. Of course, he says to him, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. She says, my husband's out of town. Verse 19. For the goodman, that's her husband, is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. See, he's out of town. He works out of town. Come on over and spend the night with me. Verse 20. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him, that boy, to yield. And the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Look at verse 25, boys. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men, Samson, have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell. Going down the chain. The Rolling Stones had a song. We used to play it in our band. There is a house in New Orleans they call the Rising Sun. Remember that? House of the Rising Sun? And we played that in our band. It's been the ruin of many a poor boy. It's a whorehouse. And God, I know I'm one. If you're here tonight, and if you've stopped those wicked women, God's favor's been upon you. And you're here tonight, you're saved. You ought to thank God for rescuing you. Amen. Make up your mind to live for Jesus. I don't want to have the ruin of many a poor boy. And let me be one to you. Well, let me say a couple of things about how to keep from doing it. Now, I'll ask you to, well, let's turn to these other verses. This is so important, I'm just going to take time and do it. If we don't finish, we won't finish. All right, look at here. Thank you, brother. Look at chapter 4. Here's how to get rid of her, man. Chapter 4. If you want the victory over them old wicked heifers, here's how you do it. Chapter 4, verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on. Right on, brother. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Verse 27. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That means when you're uptown, that means when you're on your job, you don't go like this. You just go like this. Let your eyes look right on in front of you. That's the first way to do it. Don't look. Don't look. Don't look. Don't look at the magazine racks. Don't look at them dirty, filthy movies. Don't look at those things. Brother, I mean, nowadays they got it so seductive they put it in the newspaper.
I mean, you can't hardly read the Daily News. That's why Lester Roloff wouldn't let newspapers in. Some of his, man, there's pornography in some of them. Some of those things he wouldn't let in, rather. I'm saying tonight, don't look. The second thing is don't think. Chapter 6 and verse 25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Don't think about her, boys. Girls are beautiful. God made them that way. Somebody thinks boys are prettier than girls, it's crazy. Girls are naturally more beautiful than boys. But you don't sit around and think about it. Next thing is don't go near. Chapter 7, verse 8. You know what got him in trouble? Passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house. The movies, the discos, the place of this world, that's the way to her house. Don't go there. Don't go to them places. It's bad enough just out here in everyday life. Don't go to them places where she is. And then, don't listen to her garbage. Just say, you're the one for me. Like there couldn't be another. Don't listen to that. That's a bunch of baloney. And then, keep your love for your wife. Look at chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. And look at verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers water in the streets. Let them be thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain, boys, be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Love your wife. She's just as pretty as them others. Right. No, she ain't. What'd you marry her for? You thought she's prettier, you wouldn't have married her. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you that. Amen. Samson got in trouble, lady number one. I'll tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I'm just going to mention these second two women he messed up with. That was his wife. And they wasn't wound up, wasn't long, him and her separated. Now look at Judges chapter number 16 and verse 1. We'll read it right quick. Judges chapter 16 and verse 1. I hope that some of you ain't getting blowed out of the saddle tonight. I hope you're taking this. I know this is very hard. I don't know what I'd have done if I'd heard a preacher preach like this when I first got saved. So I'm asking God to give you the grace to take it in the right spirit. Judges, you got it there, the book of Judges, right after Joshua there. Now we'll notice lady number 2. Strike 2, Samson. Chapter 16, verse 1. Judges chapter 16 and verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza. Here he goes again. And saw there a harlot. He saw another. And went in unto her. That means he had relations with her. Verse 2. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when his day, we'll kill him. Woman number 2. In Samson's life, the man that couldn't leave the women alone, he met a harlot. Now the Bible said here, he didn't love her. He didn't go back and tell mom and daddy, she pleases me. There was no love. There was no bond there. It was simply a one-night stand. That's all it was. No feeling, no affection. That's what our generation... Listen, how many teenagers we got in here tonight? Raise your hand. Okay, I praise God that this congregation has teenagers tonight, looks like. Let me tell you all teenagers something. You can put them down. Let me tell you teenagers something. You listening? Our generation is jaded. They think that you can go out here and have a one-night stand and have no love, don't even have a part in it. They're saying just do it for fun. That generation's going to reap a lot of guilt, a lot of bad feelings, feel dirty the rest of their life. They'll never be able to get rid of it. You know what? Listen to me now. I'm going to hurry.
It doesn't say he loved her or cared for her. He just saw a harlot and got her. He hadn't even known this woman an hour till they was done in a motel. This is the sort of relationship that's a one-night stand. Look at the results. This is what Americans are going for right now. Lord, give me this. I was writing this down this evening. You listening? They used to be saying, what's marriage got to do with it as long as you're in love? You remember that? When I was just getting out of high school, people said, oh, them marriage papers don't mean nothing. What difference does it make as long as we love each other? We can go to bed with each other just as long as we love each other. See? They said, it don't matter if you're married, just as long as you love each other. That's all that's important. Now, they've gone a step further and saying, it don't matter if you love each other, it's just as long as you have a good time. And they're getting more and more like animals. And they're going worse and worse and worse. Brother, I didn't hear it, but I saw the name of a song, and I can't remember the name of it. Some of you might know it. I don't even know if it's country, rock, or what. I just saw it on an album cover, and it said, it doesn't matter if we're not in love, or who cares if we're in love? You got it? That's it. What's love got to do with it? Well, a boy is trying to sleep with a woman, and she said, well, I don't know about this. And she said, we're not even in love. And he says, what's love got to do with it? They get more and more animalistic and beastly. And they're having no... You know what the punk rock generation is? The punk rock generation is a generation of this. A generation that there are no affection, there's no values, life is meaningless. If you see somebody you want to cut, cut them. If you see somebody you want to kiss, kiss them. If you see somebody you want to stay all night with, stay all night with them. Just do whatever you want. Life is meaningless. That's the philosophy of the punk rock generation. Debbie Harry of Blondie made the statement. I couldn't quote it to you. I wouldn't even tell you what she said. It is so filthy that I wouldn't even tell these boys if it's just me and boys. But what she was saying in a nutshell is that sex is everything. It don't matter if you love. It don't matter if you care. That's a generation we're living in. And I tell you tonight, it would break my heart. It'd break my heart if I saw some of our kids that sing in our youth choir or some of you young people here tonight slip into the love of sin and ruin your life like that. It ain't worth it, boys. It ain't worth it. You look what trouble this harlot got. See, he thought, well, I'll just have me a one-night stand, and I'll be out of town here and have me a big time. But it never does turn out like that. Before the night is over, there's a bunch of men going to kill him. Yeah. Anytime you mess with a woman that you shouldn't be messing with, there's going to be some man out to beat your head in. Right, right. Every time. Right. I about got my head beat in.